concerned about students, and we appreciate you being here. So we will begin by having the Pledge of Allegiance. So if you'll all stand, we'll say the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you. We will begin by having the summer travel for Emory High School girls basketball. Dean Stilson, you're up on the deck.
Thank you. Do you have a copy of my
So what the proposal is basically, in order to go to summer camps in the summer, the district policy states that we need to pay for that travel, which as I've gone through the numbers and Jared's given me a few things to work with, it would require the girls basketball program or the girls to pay an extra $1,500 to probably $2,000 for that travel. The proposal I made last year and that I would like to propose again this year is instead of going to a tournament in season, which would incur basically the same amount of expense, if we could take basically that tournament expense, put it in the summer so that the girls could go to a camp, a team camp, without having to pay extra money, the extra $150 to probably $200 per girl that it would take. On the proposal there, you can see some of the camps that are offered. There is some scheduling conflicts. The Salt Lake Community College camp is preferred, but I don't think that's going to be an option this year. I've highlighted the Utah Valley camp, and I think that's the one that would probably best suit the schedules of the girls and the school. And so what we're asking for is a bus to be able to go and do that, and to take that expense that normally we would have for a tournament during the season and put it for that camp.
Thank you. I think we did discuss this and had that as an option in the when we looked at that. I think that's a reasonable request. Any discussion on that?
Yeah, we okayed it last year, right?
Same, I think same
basic concept, right?
Concept.
That's what I was saying.
Well, I'd just like to say thank you for watching out for the bucket books of the kids, because I've had lots of parents complain about how expensive it is for their kids to participate in extracurricular things. So I appreciate that.
Okay.
I'll make the motion that we approve it.
I'll second that.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Thank you, Dean.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. The girls appreciate it. The parents appreciate it. Appreciate all you guys do. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't know if there is another room. Is there something available, Mr. Hayes? Are there seats in there?
We have the benches down on the lunch tables. And if the tables are up, you could move into the lunchroom.
Okay, would you?
I'll pack my chair.
Is that what you would prefer?
Will they need to move their own chairs as well? Because there probably aren't enough
to.
Seats.
There's just the benches from lunch, but we did push the tables up and so we can make that adjustment.
Is there any more room here? How many is out there?
There's a lot.
It would be quite.
Pardon?
How many do you think?
Slide under your
yeah, you could.
Come on up.
Close and personal.
About 12 or 14.
We can put another row up here in the front if we back up.
Can we get some chairs?
More chairs.
I just don't want to disrupt everything, and if we can get them in here, we will. I appreciate that. Let's just see what we can
come
do.
Come on up.
Hello. How are you doing, folks, today?
Come on down. Come on up.
I feel like I'm in the hot seat.
We can play footsie under the table.
A job interview or something. Yes, would you like to know about me?
What's your greatest strength?
Right?
You play footsie well, right?
I don't know.
did we get everyone in?
Not yet.
Okay.
There's three seats.
There's three seats at the front here. There's three.
Nanette was three. There's three seats up here.
I'm sure that you could probably go behind the counter.
I think we want to get some more chairs. So
okay. I think so. Try this first and then we can move if we need to. Mr. Hughes, I wonder if everybody's in. Mr. Hughes.
Hey, John.
Can you check and make sure there's nobody out there that we haven't gotten in?
Are there still some more?
There's more. Well, we can move. It's just going to take
time.
So.
Ladies and gentlemen, why don't we just go to the lunchroom where there'll be more room? Some of you'll just need to take chairs. There's benches in there.
I'm going to show them how to carry their chairs.
Okay. Can everyone hear in the back?
Why don't you just stand over here, Thomas?
Yes.
So we can see you. And
can I use the lunch desk?
Sure.
Perfect. Okay. We just came from a little league ball game that got rained out, so we're hoping for some better luck here. But it's great that you've given the parents of the students an opportunity to be heard at this meeting. And as I was looking over things this last week to see, do I know who still sits on the board? And it was kind of fun to look around as I saw that. You know, many of the members of the board I've known for a long time. Sam Singleton is a fellow Fahrenheit, kind of a father figure in the town, and so that's kind of been fun to think of some memories we've had there. And there's a fair amount of Citrus blood at the table with Laurel and the superintendent, so that's fun. And Royd, I've been down on the pheasant farm a couple of times with Tab, and we've had fun down there, so it's been kind of fun to look over those names. I think it goes without saying, nonetheless, I have, as my mother says, and I don't think it's a gift, but the gift of gab. It's usually a curse. Got me in trouble a lot in school. But I think I think that the school board understands the issue before it tonight with the ninth graders moving up, and that possibly meaning the sixth graders moving to a middle school type of atmosphere. Now, let me talk about my role, which I don't really know what it is, so I'm defining it here so that the rest of the parents and I can be on the same page. A few parents, and when I say a few, a very small percentage of this group, asked me to act as a spokesman to convey some of their issues, their worries about this, the goods and the bads. But I have to offer a caveat that 90% of the parents I never spoke with. So I can't say that I'm speaking for all of the parents. I believe most of the issues that I'll address and most of the feelings that I'll convey are probably a collective feeling that, that most of the parents have, but I do have to let the board know that, that there may be some parents who have different concerns that I'm not conveying or representing. I really wanted to start with a question to the board, so I don't know if we'll play the microphone game, but it's my understanding from looking into this issue that some time ago, probably within the last year, maybe just outside the year mark, when Carbon County School District committed to moving the ninth graders up and creating the middle school, that either the board or the superintendent were together at either a board meeting or an administrative council had began to address that issue. And that there were some comments made that Carbon School District wasn't going to force the hand of Emory County School District, and that the district was going to look into this issue and do some research and see what's best for the kids. And I think that the first question that I had from the parents is what the school board has done to research that, what steps have been taken, and if any steps have been taken, what has the research shown, what have been the results of those steps?
I think this is the first time we've addressed moving the ninth graders specifically. When we addressed it a year ago, it was to address the needs of the sports part, because when Carbon left, the teams that we normally competed with, especially in the ninth grade, they were no longer available. So that put our district in with problems of how to meet that need. This year, I understand it hasn't worked very well, and that there needs to be something done for those ninth graders. This is specifically, I think you're talking about ball teams.
No.
Okay. You're not talking about ball teams? Okay. Okay. This is just something that we have not, this is the first time we have looked at moving ninth graders. We're looking at it at present. We did not look at it a year ago. When we addressed that, it was ball teams.
Okay, thanks. And I think that maybe for some clarification, that the students, at that time, that may have been just about the ball teams, but the parents tonight are talking about a much larger issue,
right,
which involves the, you know, scholastic.
And that's what we're looking at as well.
Very good. I just wanted to address some of the issues that I received in numerous letters that I received from the parents of students who have ninth graders this year, or have ninth graders coming up, or have a sixth or seventh grader, and are presently dealing with the issues and are feeling, you know, some strains. And so I wanted to address some of those points that I think they've made, and it's some that the board may have already thought about, but nonetheless, I think it'll help you to understand where the parents are coming from and sharing their students' concerns. First of all, the most important issue really is will the move, the transition, will it benefit the kids educationally? We all know that the sports scene is great, the social scene's important, all these things are important, but the scholastic part of it's the most important. And a few reasons that the parents have voiced for this are, one, that there'll be more electives available. We all know that at ninth grade, we're looking at the GPA, right? You know, before that, you know, the colleges aren't. We're gonna count the GPA from ninth grade. Well, the problem that some of the parents have voiced from, especially after the move and talking with some other parents who are from other school districts where their kids have moved, that our kids are looking at planning for their final graduation, and they're kind of bootstrapped. They say, well, I can only do this in ninth grade because there's not honors this, that, and the other, you know, at my junior high. There is at the high school, I could have a little more electives, I could fit in more things, and not because, well, wow, that would make it easier. Yes, it may lessen some stress, but we could look into, do I enjoy this? Is this something that I would do more of, you know, as I get into high school? And so I think there's more flexibility for electives and honor classes. Along those lines of more opportunity to see what the kids like. I remember at least three different times that I met with the term, the board probably does, but an education counselor, you know, someone that's saying, hey, what do you want to do when you grow up, right? And I'm in high school saying, please help me, because I have no idea. You know, I really had my mind set on professional basketball, baseball, and football, and I'm 5'10", 160 pounds as a senior, right? There's no way. I realize this, I'm not going this way. And every time that I met with those counselors, and I remember at least three different times, they said to me, find something that you love and that you would do without even having to get paid, and then see if you can make a career of it, right? We've all probably heard that. Well, I think that allowing more electives, more opportunity for the kids to choose classes could help them go a little bit down that road to say, yes, I do enjoy this, or I don't enjoy this. That doesn't mean that if there's two more required classes, they don't have to take it. They do, but they realize maybe, you know, at an earlier time in their life, maybe what road they're headed down a little bit. And I understand in ninth grade, there's not many kids who are going to be committed to what they're going to do when they graduate, or 10 years after they graduate. Nonetheless, I believe it points them in directions that might be good, or in directions that say, wow, I don't want to do that, and maybe that saved mom and dad $20,000 of my first and second year in college because I'm not going to do that. Okay. The other things that the parents have voiced about on the scholastic level are the different clubs and organizations available at the high school level, not available at the junior high level. Speech and debate, drama, FFA, FCLA, FBLA. One parent talked about their student who was a quasi part of the FBLA, the Future Business Leaders of America, and was part of the projects and got to do things and collaborate with the students, but when it came time to go to their meet or whatever it was that was at a state level, he couldn't go because he wasn't part of the high school. He was from Canyon View Junior High as a ninth grader. And so there's some things there where they can become involved in those different areas. Moving on to the extracurricular aspect of it being in the children's best interest to move on. This year, in one of the sports at the high school, the coach had 38 eligibility forms from ninth graders, okay? If I look at that by itself, I don't even know what that means. Is that a lot? Is it not a lot? Well, when you compare it to sophomores, juniors, and seniors, it's staggering. 38 ninth grade students provided these eligibility forms to be able to play. 87 sophomores, 91 juniors, 96 seniors. So the sophomores, juniors, and seniors are within 9 students of each other, right? They're participating, but you have these ninth graders, 38 of them. And really, what this is created, and this goes a little bit from extracurricular to social, is you have these ninth graders who are at Canyon View or at San Rafael, and they're now left with, well, probably just, well, sports for one. I'm probably not good enough to make the high school team. I probably could have made it if I was here, but not if I'm competing against kids from Canyon View. And so you've got 5 that try out from each school, And then you've got how a couple hundred ninth graders left saying, who are we, what do we do, who do we belong to? There's really an identity crisis to say, well, we're part of this school, but why would we go to the pep rally? Yay, little brother that's in eighth grade, right? They're not excited about that, right? I remember when I was there in ninth grade, and pep rallies, I mean, we were the seniors of the school, and everybody got excited, and we watched some ball games. And when I was eighth grade, I watched the ninth graders. Well, here are the ninth graders that aren't participating are really left in limbo, okay? And so I think that's an issue. There's also an issue, and I think that, Laura, you kind of tackled this, that it's not working out with the sports program at one level and the junior high at the other. Multiple letters from parents who have students that are playing ball, okay? Female and male, and every one of them say that they are at least a half an hour late to practice, okay, because of the different, you know, times that the schools are letting out and busing the children to school. And furthermore, I'm hearing from students and coaches that you have many ninth graders who are just, and I think this will get worse, are just don't have any confidence because they've, at this point, 7th and 8th grade, that's the only level of higher competition they can play. And then, boom, they're supposed to jump into high school level ball. And they just don't dare. And those that do dare are behind some of the other rural areas who have the 9th grade with the high school. They're not part of the system. They don't know the system. And so there's some issues there. The social aspect, which I touched upon, maybe the bigger issue of, hey, we don't know what school do we belong to? We're under the roof of the San Rafael, you know, junior high, but we really are, you know, our grades are counted for high school and our friends are going there after school to play ball. Maybe the bigger issue long term, and I really do think it is that instead of teaching these kids, get involved, right? When we're adults, get involved in your governments, get involved in elections, get involved in these things. We're teaching these kids, well, there's nothing to get involved in. You didn't make the team in ninth grade. Well, you could be part of the, you know, FFA, but we don't have that here. You could be part of the FBLA. We don't have that here. And so now we have these kids who are becoming less involved, pretty good at video games, right? They can go home and play the video games. And really creating kind of an apathetic group of kids instead of go-getters, you know, those kinds that want to change things, that want to get involved. There's not a lot of things to be involved with unless you go up to the high school. And some kids may be able to do that, but parents are saying, sorry, I can't get you there in the mornings for drill team practice at 7:30. And I can't get you back in time. I've got six other kids I got to get ready for school. You know, and so they can't do it. They just can't because they're not able to. The family's not able to make it work. Those are largely the reasons that the parents are saying that's in the best interest of the children. I try to look at, and I don't have the experience any of the board members do, and don't have any gray hair or no hair to pull one off on you and say that I do. But I try to put myself in an administrative position and say, okay, you know, this sounds great, sounds like the kids are having a hard time, so let's solve the problem and move them up. It's a logistical nightmare. It really is. I know that. You know, the logistics, what about the teachers here versus the teachers there, and how do we do this, and buildings. And so I tried to look through some of those things and spoke with some of the parents about these things and would like to offer some of their responses. Do we move the sixth graders, do we not move the sixth graders? I don't know, okay? I do know in other districts they've created this middle school, okay, where I think it probably does make sense. I think most of the voice I did hear, and again, I'm not representing all of them, because I haven't heard, was more of the push for the ninth graders, but I think it probably does make sense. The ones I did hear from said, I'm not worried about the sixth grader moving on. In fact, one teacher two teachers that I spoke with said, I'm actually seeing a fairly big problem with the sixth graders, kind of, you know, pushing around the smaller kids. They're just, they're more mature, they're bigger, they could move on to a seventh grade level. So I didn't have any real pushback on saying that they would be scared of sending their kids to a middle school. Second, buildings, are they big enough? I don't have statistical data to give to the board, but I know that when I was there in high school in 2001, there were more kids when I was graduating. I've been to a couple graduations, and I was thinking, are they not graduating? No, we're graduating, most of them. That's all of them. And so they fit us. You know, we were 3A. They fit us fine. I never actually felt cramped. I never was one of those saying, there's too many students per teacher, and I had a good education. So I think we can. Plus, just before I leave the high school, they build the Spartan Center, which has a lot of classrooms in the Spartan Center, which I believe can also accommodate more students. But nonetheless, even without it, we were fitting fine. So I think it's a false issue to say that's a huge problem. Maybe, you know, where we're going to have certain classes, yes, that's a logistical issue, but I don't think a hurdle that's too high to jump. Teachers, what do we do with the teachers? No one here is saying that, hey, we're just getting rid of a full class of kids, and so we don't need teachers for them. Everybody's saying still the same amount of kids, so I still think there's the same amount of teachers, right? But there may be some shuffling of teachers. There may be some, well, this isn't a whole lot of fun. It's inconvenient that I have to maybe go from Huntington now to Castle Dell. I don't know how all that plays out, but I think teachers keep their jobs. I don't think anybody's saying we need to get rid of the teachers. We're not getting rid of the amount of students. We're just reclassifying them. We're distributing them to different schools. Busing. If this was the Alpine School District, I don't even know what I'd tell you. You know, I mean, it would be a mess. It's not. We're in rural Emory County. My kid gets off the bus, and there's big kids on his bus. You know, the big kid gets off the bus, and there's little kids on his bus. We're going these same routes. I don't think it's a huge problem. There already is some, I think, issues that the bus garage that Mr. Swenson's dealing with on trying with these extracurricular activities, these ninth graders going up to the high school, that's a little bit tough, but we're already dealing with those. So I don't think the busing is a large issue. In closing, and then any questions I'd be happy to attempt to answer. I took a look at, and I've seen them on a few of the desks, on the desk of a few of the members. I took a look at the policies of the school district. Okay, essentially, it's bylaws. What governs our decisions? What rules do we have to play by? And the mission statement of the Emory County School District says that it's to provide a comprehensive education that will prepare students to take a proactive and responsible role in an ever-changing world. That jumped out to me and said, that's so applicable to this case. Okay, it's the first statement, okay, that really the school board probably looks at. Why are we here? Why are we a school board? And that's why. Okay, comprehensive. What does that mean? Okay, dictionary says covering completely or broadly inclusive. What I think we're doing is being exclusive. We're excluding students at this level, saying you're part of the high school, but you're really not. You get your GPA counted, but you really can't be involved in other things, and we're not being broadly inclusive. Preparing the students to take a proactive and responsible role. What does proactive mean if we expect it of the students? It's sometimes to try to deal with something that may or is becoming a problem. I think that the students, if I were here, and I think the board agrees, that if we expected of the students, you know, we expected of the administrators to take a proactive role in an ever-changing world. We're changing. It's ever-changing. It's on the cusp. All the other schools, not all the other schools, most schools are going this direction, and I think the school board understands that mission statement and should abide by it. The other part of this mission statement includes guidepost for excellence, which says that the student is the most important in our business and every decision will be based on this premise. There will be logistical issues with the teachers. There will be some, well, we got to put this in the classroom. We have to move this and that. That's not the main thing, the main idea that the student or that the board will look at. It's the student. Is it in the best interest of the student? So in closing, if I was to sum it up, like I said, I'm gabbing. If I was to sum it up, okay, I think we look at it one of two ways, okay? Because we're one of the few, meaning our school district, that is not moving to this, you know, ninth graders to the high school, having middle school. So we look at it this way. Either one, our head's in the sand, and we're saying, la, 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 leave us alone. We kind of want to stay where we're at. We've done it for a long time. We know it's going to be difficult. Okay, we're doing that. Or we're just much better than all of the other school districts, and we get something that they don't, and our students are doing so much better than they are and have so much more opportunity that we're scoffing at them from a higher place saying, what are you doing? Okay? And I don't think that the issues that the parents have voiced to me say that that's happening. I think they're saying the head's in the sand. We need to move forward because it's the best thing for our kids. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your information. This is something we're considering. This isn't something that we're saying that we're not going to do. This is so your input is very helpful to us. We appreciate that. We also have our list. We have a list of pros and cons. This is something that affects a lot of people and a lot of students, a lot of teachers. It is something that we are definitely going to look at, and it's going to take some time. We're not going to rush into this. I hope you can understand that because of the implications, it's not something, but we are looking at it, and we hear you. We understand that you have those concerns. I will have to say that I've had a lot of people call me with differing opinions. Is there anyone here that speaks for the other side? I don't know. There's some people that are here would like to. Time. Was there somebody else that wanted to speak? Go ahead. Would you like the microphone?
I'm
Okay, can everybody hear? I think we're just going to state things here. This is not going to be an open debate. Let's let everybody get their voices heard for us tonight, if you don't mind. We've had a spokesman. Mr. Citru did an excellent job. I think it's only fair that we listen to other people. Tell us your name.
Corinda Stilson.
Okay, and Andrea
Johansson.
Thank you.
And not to, because I don't have, the reason I did, which I did, is I didn't have a lot of feedback from the parents, and this was not my
right.
dog in
we,
the fight.
We understand
and
that.
So, and so that probably is a discussion that maybe is
well,
separate.
Well, I think thank you. I think you brought up some of the issues that we're facing, that it's not something that we just run in because we want change or because carbon did it. There's some issues here we need to think about. We're thinking about schools maybe having to close. We want to consider that when you move up sixth graders. There's a lot of issues here, and it affects a lot of people. It affects students. We also have to be concerned with accreditation of our teachers. Not everybody's accredited to do secondary endorsement to do secondary teaching. So there are some issues here that these points are well taken, but there's also some issues that we have to look at what we are required as a school district to provide our students as far as accreditation. So we value your input. This is a great opportunity for you to give us how you feel. That we want that. Is this against? Yeah, please do.
Let me just take a second and try to answer that. First of all, let me say I spent a lot of time with Superintendent Carlson in Carbon School District over the past year. And Carbon made this move. Basically, their primary motivation was that their elementary schools were bursting at the seams. And they, in order to avoid building new elementary schools, saw the opportunity then to make this move to take the pressure off from their elementary schools. And some of the issues that came from that was it isn't so much moving the ninth grade to the high school level. I see a lot of positive things about
Definitely.
That. I think having all of those kids in one school where credit is offered is much easier to handle. It's much easier to control. It's much easier to keep track of. There are also all those other things that Thomas talked about. You know, I understand all those things. The real complexity comes when you start moving to sixth grade. Now, there are some issues with the ninth grade going to high school also. And those issues are mainly issues of licensing and endorsement of teachers. Those teachers are required to have a major or a minor in the content area in which they teach in order to be endorsed, or they have to seek out a special endorsement either through taking praxis exams or college courses. And we have, over the past years, because of the rural nature of our county, had to hire teachers who didn't have those endorsements, and then we had to pay and help them to return to school and get those endorsements. Now the answer, that's part of the answer. Again, I see some real value in most areas of moving ninth grade. When you move the ninth grade, you have to move some teachers. Those teachers will not have all of the endorsements. So there will be college credit and work that those teachers will have to do in order to become eligible to teach those courses. And then you also have when you move the sixth grade into a middle school, teachers are licensed to teach through grade 8 for the most part. Now there's other kinds of licensing. There's a K-3, there's a K-6, a 1-6. Most of the licenses in the past have been a 1 through 8. But if you teach in a middle school or junior high setting, those teachers can teach with an elementary license through 8th grade, but they have to get the endorsement for the subject that they teach. So in other words, the license allows them to teach the grade level, but in order to teach English, they have to get an English endorsement, which means going back to school and taking additional college credit and getting that specialty in English or science or social studies or math. An elementary teacher teaching at a middle school level must have a level 2 math endorsement. Level 2 math endorsement requires a teacher to pass trigonometry and calculus, the college courses. And one of the things that Carbon discovered is that in trying to move teachers from the elementary into the middle school, there were some who they're still working with trying to figure out how to get the endorsements, but there were some they had to let go. Superintendent Carlson told me they happened that year that they made the first initial move, and they had been looking at this for over a year and a half, almost 2 years. They had, fortunately, he said, 9 teachers in their secondary schools who left. They were able to hire teachers with the endorsements that they needed to make that transition. He said, had we not had those people retiring or leaving, we would have had to have the term layoff, or they would have had to let go 8 or 9 teachers that they currently had on staff and rehire 8 or 9 new teachers with the credentials to teach those secondary courses. So it's a huge impact on teachers. And so these are the kinds of things that need to be studied and worked out. Elementary schools, we're concerned right now as a school district, at least as an administrative staff, we're concerned about what our numbers are going to look like when school starts next year. We're actually down, I can't remember the exact number, but somewhere around 50 to 70 students that we're going to be down for next school year. In our district, that's huge. But that's before the mine closures. Now with Deer Creek closing and Murray Enterprises laying off already about almost 40 employees, we don't know that this summer we won't lose another 100 students. If we lose that many students, we may be letting employees go the first day of school. Because you don't have the resources to support that kind of staffing. When you lose, we receive the funding based on the number of students that we have. And so those are things that are concerned to us. What we really plan to do and would like to do is this next school year put in place, first of all, identify the, I would say, 10 to 12 key issues that exist that we're going to have to deal with, or we're going to have to meet and address in making this kind of transition. We would then like to set up focus groups consisting of teachers, parents, administrators, and anyone else that we feel like can be involved, including, if we need to, consultants, to help us to work through with those focus groups what kind of staffing patterns, what kind of resources, what kind of transportation, what kind of course offerings, what impacts is it going to have on extracurricular activities, what kind of impact is it going to have on our elementary schools, the staffing there. We want to be able to be prepared so that when and if we do make that transition, that it can be done and no one suffers because of it, and that we can still provide a quality education for the kids. We have some of the greatest teachers in the whole United States that teach right here in this school district. We have veteran teachers who are great, and we have a lot of new young teachers that have just given us a real spark in our school district. This week is Teacher Appreciation Week. Teachers, we appreciate you. Say that for you to clap except for them, and I know you did, but that's what we really want to do, is be prepared for it. There is no way physically or any way possible with the resources we have and the time we have to make this happen before school starts. So we need next year to look at it. We've just barely started the discussions. We have, like I say, we've been collecting information from Carbon School District. We wanted to see after a year to 2 years that they were into it, what are some of the things that you saw that went well, and what are some of the things that you saw that you didn't expect, and what are some of the real challenges that you had? And we're collecting that. We've got a list started, but it's still just in the beginning phase. But in order to make this work for the following year, obviously we're going to have to make a decision probably in the early spring, sometime around February or March, in order to make that happen for the next year. But again, staffing is going to be one of the biggest issues that we have. And we've got to make that transition. We've got to get our economy going to the point that we're not losing the students that we're losing, or we're not going to be able to make this kind of transition without closing schools, particularly elementary schools. Now, can we do this and not move sixth graders? Probably, but it's going to be really cost ineffective to operate a school in a junior high of 130 to 150 kids when you have the staffing costs that you have for that many kids in a middle school or a junior high school. But that's one of the things we're going to have to consider.
Go ahead.
I just have one comment for the board to consider before we go down this road. As many parents as there are here, is a very small percentage of the parents in the district. So I would think that getting a larger percentage and larger input from the public would be wiser before we
Absolutely. I think there needs to be some kind of an online survey or some kind of, what do you see are the issues? You know, what do you think about it? What are some of the things that you really think we ought to be studying or focusing on as we look at this transition? We need to collect the data, and it takes time. I've talked with both junior high principals and Mr. Davis of the high school, and all three have told me that it could possibly, in their minds, it could take 2 years. But I would hope not, but it's something that we've got to have the time to do.
Does somebody else have another question? Go ahead.
We coach at the junior high for cheerleading, and I don't mean to make it about this, it's just a little side note, or to make it a pressing issue, but we have girls that are on the cheer squad for next year that are and that's not fair if you guys were to make it official and for next year that those three girls on our team and two girls on Sandra Hill's team, that they're kind of not on the junior high level and they're not accepted on the high school level,
sure
they need to teach.
My understanding, and I may have misunderstood you, but the ninth graders can try out for cheer squad and the sports team.
Right.
Right?
What I'm saying.
Are you talking about cheering for the ninth grade teams?
No. What I'm saying is we still have ninth grade in the junior high, and we have ninth graders that tried out and made the junior high cheer squad. Are they going to be able to be bumped up to the high school cheer squad, or like, how do you go about?
Well, Mr. Meekum, in talking to Mr. Meekum, he indicated to me that those, the last I talked to this, which was when we talked about this last board meeting, and the board approved ninth grade cheerleaders participating at Emory High School, my understanding was that those tryouts would be reopened for those cheerleaders to try out at Emory High School. I think Canyon View had their tryouts yet, but I know Santa Fel had. Mr. Meekum told me that they would still provide that opportunity, is what he told me.
And I understand that. I understand we touched on that on the last board meeting. But what I'm saying is if you do bump the ninth graders to the high school, the junior highs and the high schools hold their tryouts before the school year is over. So we've already had tryouts for next year's team, and we have ninth graders on the junior high team. So would they be allowed to be on the high school team if you were to do this?
It's not something that we've thought about. We're not doing it next year.
So it's not going to affect him.
I understand that, but if like the following year that was to happen.
We'll have to work through the logistics of that. But let me just tell you one thing that Coach Jones has been working on. If we move the ninth grade to the high school, they've already made the teams, or they haven't. It's not going to change the sports that they didn't make. So in at least this year, Coach Jones is meeting on Tuesday with the Carbon District to get competition. So it will be competition for ninth grade boys in junior high. We hope.
We had a meeting a week ago, and the meeting fell fair apart. He has been working hard and has another meeting scheduled with their principals for next Tuesday. And they have a plan that hopefully we'll be able to have ninth grade. The kids who do not make ninth grade teams at Emory High School will have the opportunity to play in a league with Carbon and each other, and in at least basketball, volleyball, and wrestling. So far, we can't field enough ninth graders to have a football team in any of them.
Okay, I think that one of the things that's important that everyone here understands, regardless of what decisions are made, we need you to understand that we understand what we have been doing the past year has not been working. And that while we're gathering information and trying to formulate what's going to be the best long-term solution, we are doing we'll do everything within our power to make it so that these kids who are in ninth grade no longer feel like they're in no man's land, because we recognize that that has been a really, really serious problem this year. I guess the frustration is that we can't snap our fingers and say, here's a solution and it's going to work for everybody. But I will promise you that we are doing our level best, and we'll continue to do our level best to try to find ways so that every student feels valued and feels like they're contributing.
There's no easy answers to this, as you can see. You know, you're going to affect, if you do it one way or the other, you're going to affect people in some way. So if we can get as much input from parents, and that will be helpful to us.
You're always touching the base on the sports, but you have these kids that don't do sports that want to be involved with speech and debate, with drama, with the business leaders. You want those students. They're not offered
and we appreciate that. He did bring that out, and that's something that we'll consider.
And
thank
you. It's a
really
important point.
Right here. Let me have you ask, say your name. I haven't been doing that, so I'll have to get your name. Did you get that? Sure, absolutely.
Okay, so my request would be each of our phone numbers and emails are listed on the district website. And in the past, when I'm a dinosaur, I've been on the board forever, but this is not the first controversial thing that's come up. Please call the board member from your precinct, and we'll keep a notebook beside the telephone and write down your concerns and opinions, because there are lots of things that you will see that we won't see, even though we try to stay really strongly involved in the schools. So look up our phone numbers and emails, and please communicate. That will be really helpful.
Yes. Can you tell your name? You bet.
First of all, my name is Kurt Christiansen. I came here tonight with a lot of hats. I'm pretty involved in the community. I have a lot of children. I have two currently in high school. One is a junior, one is a freshman. Mm-hmm. And then I have three coming up. So this is going to affect my household, my family, and my children's future. I'm also the high school wrestling coach right now. And I can see how it affected those freshmen who were involved in our program this year. And how if they were there, I could have influenced a lot more freshmen. Because of the logistics of getting them there and getting them home, a lot of guys missed out on an opportunity that they would have taken if they had been at high school. We've already discussed sports to death. I'm done with that. More important to me is the FFA program. I'm a horse trainer by trade. I really appreciated what Mr. Sitter had to say about that kid who didn't know what he wanted to do in high school. I was that guy. I wanted to spend time with animals. And they told me, be a vet. So I started pre-vet, and I wasted 2 years of college doing that. And I wanted something to fall back on because I already had my animal science degree taken care of, so I went into elementary education. And I went all the way through my student observation and decided I liked horses better than I liked parrots. Better than I liked parrots. So I shifted my gears again. And right now, it's been a long, hard road for me, but right now I'm a professional horse trainer. And to me, What shaped me for that was my extracurricular activities, my wrestling, my rodeo, and most important was my FFA. And right now, our ninth graders don't have that opportunity, and they're suffering for it. This is one thing to attest to the fact that our FFA is suffering for it. The other thing I wanted to talk about, which was another big issue that Mr. Citra talked about, and you guys talked about it, was that these teachers are going to have to move up. If they're going to move the high school up, they're going to have to graduate some teachers with them. Join the world, guys. It might be tough, but suck it up, buttercup. That's the way life is. And if we want to keep our job, we got to get better educated. So from a parent's point of view, who wants the best education possible for his children, I think I speak for a lot of parents that if my kid's of the high school age, his teacher ought to be of high school age too. So that's what's on my mind.
Okay, in the back. Tell your name. Thank you. Thanks.
Carbon, this first year, ran a sixth grade track. And yes, they did keep them, the teachers that taught them, they kept them in a track for this first go around because of the endorsement issues. But then they also separated it for part of the day. Some of them went into some of the teachers began work on, say, a science math endorsement, some on an English and something else endorsement. So they started the endorsement process and moved them into a combination of a self-contained and a subject area track. My understanding is that the plan is to, within the next couple of years, is to move them into a total integration like a junior high where the kids move and are in a content area subject situation. Now they may go another year with a sixth grade track, I don't know, but I know that they're trying to move now into the middle school track, which is basically what is required by the State Office of Education in a middle school program. But they talked about keeping them just in separate classrooms, self-contained, as they had in the elementary, but it didn't add to the total program of a middle school. So they started to integrate this, at least this last part of the year and for half a day. But according to Superintendent Carlson, the plan is to move it into an integrated system at some point. When that is, I don't know.
Okay. Well, thank you for your input. Nicole? That's a consideration that Mr. Citru brought up, so appreciate that. Those are things that we need to look at. I think that we will assure you that we are going to look at this. We don't have our head in the sand, I guarantee you that. We are looking at this very seriously. We are looking to make sure that we do the right thing for students, that it has more benefits to our students than drawbacks. And we want to make the best school district, but we are not going to just jump into something until we have all the information. So thank you for your input tonight. We appreciate that. We appreciate your passion and your wanting students to succeed. That says a lot, and I think it reflects in our community and in our schools. We have parents that care, that want our kids to succeed. And that's why Emory District has been excellent in producing excellent students in all areas, in extracurricular activities and in academics. And that's really important to us. And that's why we're all here. We all want the same thing. We all want the best for our students. So thank you. We will hopefully get information. We might be asking for input from you in the next year. And thank you for coming. We are going to move on to our next part of our meeting. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Let me just thank those of you who came here and talked about something besides sports.
Yeah.
It's not often we pack a boardroom in a board meeting unless it has to do with sports. And it's refreshing to have discussions about academics.
Yep.
And about educating kids, so thank you.
Hey, you are welcome to stay for the rest of the board meeting. We will give you this opportunity to leave, and that's just up to you.
Thanks,
guys. Thanks, Thomas.
Thank you.
Thank you for your input. It's Bridget. Yes.
I just wanted to say something.
Oh, go ahead.
So I just have my bubble burst because I thought everybody came here tonight to listen to me.
Bridget.
You give me a maiden.
Olson, Bridget Olson. So she is she works at that the doctor's office. She's a physician's assistant. I think she's going to be at the clinic. Thank you.
I came here uneducated and I'm educated and I appreciate
it. Tiffany, thank you for coming.
Yes, you've opened my eyes to a lot of things.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, those of you that are staying, we'll ask you, we'll move on, and we are going to turn the time over to the EEA 2015 negotiations. Kim Player has a presentation.
Just quickly, at times like this, I'm always reminded, I'm reading this because I'm scared to death. At times like this, I'm reminded of Abraham Lincoln saying that it's better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak out and remove all doubt. But I have to speak out tonight because my parents and several parents and teachers and staff have told me I have to. So although I hope to share this opportunity with someone else very soon, it really has been my privilege to represent the extraordinary professional educators in the Emory School District as the Emory Education Association president. I've also been privileged to be able to watch all of these board members in action in our district administration and see that they really do truly care about the success of our school district. And I've come to value your friendships and admire your smarts. But I speak for all, I'm sure I speak for EEA members when I say we respect all of you and we appreciate what you do for our district and especially for our students. But it's also a given that during times of reduced student enrollment, things become unhappy and decisions that have to be made become more difficult. The objective in me talking to you tonight is to encourage you to allow the Emory Education Association to step up to the plate more than we have in the past. And to engage more in finding solutions. It's not our intent at all to lay blame or point fingers or do anything that's counterproductive. I think our association is in a position to provide you some useful information and support that can help you in these tough decisions and the tough decision-making process. We're always getting information from parents, teachers, and staff members who also care about the success of our district. And recently we've received letters from dozens of people who have cared enough to thoughtfully put their concerns in writing. I strongly believe that better decisions will be made if their voices are heard. As you know, issues tend to flare up even more when people feel like their opinions don't matter. So Laurel will be presenting to you guys tonight our idea to make the negotiation process a little less formal and a little more about working together. We think it would be more effective and would help us work to solve problems rather than bargaining from positions. So I strongly urge you to support this idea, and that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Kim. Very well said. We appreciate Kim, and we also appreciate her, the association, and what they do. We have some recognitions tonight, so we will start with Murray.
Yay. I'm still writing.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry. And I'm going to read this, too. I have a gift of sticking my foot in my mouth, so if I read it verbatim, it will be safer. It's my pleasure to be able to read this summary about Nanette Harrison. She has been selected as Emory County School District Support Staff Employee of the Year.
Where is she? Let's get her up here first.
There we go. Oh, okay. You can tell that it's not all about her. With her. She has been selected as Emory County School District Support Staff Employee of the Year for the 2014-15 school year. Nanette works in the district preschool program based at Cottonwood Elementary School. She's been with the district preschool for the past 22 years. Nanette is currently the preschool program assistant with responsibilities including parent communication, scheduling, maintaining financial records, providing staff support, and arranging meetings. She is also responsible to travel district-wide, providing intensive instruction to students needing one-on-one support. Nanette also took on the added responsibility for the new Waterford Early Learning Program beginning a year ago. The Waterford Early Learning Program is an in-home kindergarten preparedness program that's intended to study the effects of early readiness preparation on school success over a 3 to 4 year period. She has dedicated many hours in recruiting and preparing kids and parents for participation. Nanette is well respected by her peers, being a veteran of the program and a leader in many ways. Nanette exemplifies skills needed for young students to excel in their learning environment. Throughout her career, she has provided her students with a safe learning environment while promoting learning in all areas of development. Nanette was born in Carbon County, but we won't help that against you. Schooled for a short time in Emory County, continued her education in Salt Lake, and for the past 22 years has been back in Emory County doing what is near and dear to her, giving children a positive, loving experience as they start on their educational path. Nanette quotes Abilene in the new movie, The Help, quote, "I feel each child is kind, smart, and important," close quote. Nanette continues, quote, "If each child leaves our program with these words in their minds and in their hearts, then my goal has been achieved. To you parents who have entrusted me with your children, I truly love them. Thank you for allowing me into their lives." Just on a personal note, she taught one of my granddaughters who has some special needs, and she absolutely loves her to this day. I can attest to all the positive things that are said here. We congratulate Nanette on this well-deserved recognition.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you. We're cousins. We can fight.
Thank you, Nanette. I think she just, she solves a lot of problems in our district by giving kids a head start as they start school. And what a great gift to give them. I also have a presentation tonight. This is for Janet Tuttle, 2014-15 Teacher of the Year. She would come up. That is a great distinction because we have a lot of great teachers in our district. Janet Tuttle has been selected as the Emory County School District's Teacher of the Year for the 2014-15 school year. Janet teaches fifth grade at Cottonwood Elementary School. She has been teaching. You looked at me like I might be wrong. She has been teaching in the district for the past 8 years, 2 years in Huntington Elementary and 6 years at Cottonwood Elementary. Janet has served on district and school committees. She is well respected by her peers who look at her as a teacher leader. Janet stepped up and helped lead the school at the beginning of the year for a number of weeks. She spent countless hours after school preparing lesson plans, working, and putting together amazing hands-on learning opportunities for her students. Janet is a skilled, dedicated teacher and leader. She is knowledgeable in content areas she teaches and demonstrates skill in the teaching strategies she uses. She is highly motivated and maintains a high level of enthusiasm. She performs her assignments with professionalism and is committed to the education profession and to the development of herself and to those who with whom she works. She is also a great resource to all the teachers and staff at Cottonwood and willing to go out of her way to help others. She is involved with faculty and staff and is often found helping and talking with others to encourage and provide guidance. Janet is dedicated to her students at Cottonwood Elementary School, and she is highly deserving of this recognition. I just have to say, we are so fortunate in our district to have the talents that Janet brings to her students. Really appreciate her. And we congratulate her on her well-deserved recognition. I'm going to bring it in. We have the design contest for Baca, and I think we've done this in the past. Are you thinking of doing it the same as we've done it other years?
It'll be the same. We're going to extend it up to the age group. We move the age group up to allow middle school 15-year-olds to participate. We'll do different T-shirt competitions, and the winners of it will get the iPod with the $50. The T-shirt idea will be used for our fundraising this summer for our youth fund.
Thank you. So my understanding is that you have your poster with the things that they can color. Is that right?
And what it is just a plain piece of paper. They draw an idea down.
Okay, go ahead and take this.
Yeah, all the kids just take a plain piece of paper, draw an idea down, submit it into the office. We'll gather them up after the competition.
then we will gather them, pick a winner, contact the kids, let them know that they're the winner, give them the money, and then the idea goes into our t-shirt that was handed out to everybody who comes down for our fundraiser during the summer.
Okay. Thank you very much. Anything?
Nope.
Any questions?
No, it was great.
I think we've done it before, and we appreciate that. That's a great gift to offer to our students. So
I'd like to make that motion that we approve that request.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Thank you.
Appreciate your time.
Thank you for coming.
Appreciate it very much.
Hope you learned sometime.
More than I needed.
It's good to have honesty, isn't it? Okay. We're going to start at the beginning of our meeting where we usually start. So we have the warrants and the minutes from April 2015 meeting and the financial reports for April 2015. Are there any discussions on those?
I move that we approve them.
I second it.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, we have names for approval. Yes, please.
I have to use it. I have several names presented to the board for approval tonight. I'd like to recommend the